The City of Winter Park City Commission meeting for June 26, 1917. I'm Vice Mayor Pete Weldon. The mayor is not present today.
2017.
Is that what I said?
You said 1917.
1917, I wish.
Old time Winter Park.
Yes, sir.
That's one, Mr. Mayor.
That's one? All right, let me know when I strike out. So we'll call a meeting to order, and we'll have an invocation by the Fire Chief, James White. And then we will say the Pledge of Allegiance.
If everyone will join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in thanks for our community, hoping that we can do your will. We've been given a tremendous gift and a tremendous treasure in the City of Winter Park. And we're only here as your stewards. We pray for your guidance. We pray for your assistance. We pray for your thoughts, that we can take out the actions that would do your will. We ask this as we ask all things in your name. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. City Manager, are there any changes in the agenda?
Yes, sir. Item 11C has been put off to the next meeting. We don't have the contract finalized on that, so that'll be put off to the next meeting. Okay. That's the for the audience, that's the authorization of the conveyance of 301 West Comstock, otherwise known as the Blake Yard. So that'll be next meeting.
Anything else?
No, sir.
Do we have approval of the agenda? All in
so
favor?
Moved.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The mayor has no report. The city manager, are there some issues you need to talk about today?
I did have an item, and I forgot it. That's one for me.
Would it be Lee Road?
Yes, that was it. the sale of the Lee Road property, the purchaser of that has backed out of the deal, so that is back on the market. So thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor, for reminding me of that item.
And there's no further action on the part of the commission necessary to put that back on the market? And
not at this time. We'll put it back on the market. If there is a buyer, that will come back to you for approval.
Randy, wasn't there a second bidder on that?
There was.
Are they interested? Or
we will be contacting them.
Does it have to go back on the market, or can you just go to the second bidder?
Well, we can go to the second bidder, but they will call the second bidder, see if they're still interested, because that was a good price also that they had offered.
Thank you. Mr. City Attorney.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
if I can follow, sure. I mean, if they're willing to pay the price, could that just come to the commission next time?
Yeah.
And he can investigate that?
Absolutely.
Or do you guys want to go through the process again?
No. This is not an NOD process to begin with. It was just a for
sale. So you just bring it back if they're interested? And we can
as soon as we have a buyer that meets our terms that are favorable to the city.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mr. City Attorney, do you have a report for us?
Yes, Mayor Commissioners. Marijuana.
I don't have any.
I just wanted to talk about that briefly.
The I never inhaled.
That's the line.
President.
In any event, the governor signed the act that was the result of a special legislative session. It now is the law that the state has preempted all matters related to the marijuana dispensaries to the legislature. However, the law does now allow the city to either ban dispensaries throughout the city or to regulate dispensaries consistent with how cities and local governments regulate pharmacies. So if you choose to do nothing, then folks can, anybody who would like to apply, I think in the commercial districts in the city can apply and be entitled to obtain a dispensary. If we proceed with a proposed ordinance, which I have a draft ordinance that would prohibit and ban them throughout the city, we will send that ordinance to the commission for consideration and processing with a planning and zoning board meeting to deal with that, special planning and zoning board meeting, I think in the middle of July. Then to come to the commission in ordinance form as a ban. It's one of the primary reasons to talk about it at this meeting is in order to let the public understand that there is a pending ordinance that is being considered by the city staff that will come to the Planning and Zoning Board and the Commission, so that it gives the city some basis to now prohibit dispensaries in the event they wish to proceed at this moment.
And without any bias one way or the other, I, in terms of, you know, my personal opinions about that kind of thing, I would be interested in reviewing such an ordinance for consideration. Sarah?
Didn't we pass a location earlier?
Yes.
So what did we do before, like 2 years ago?
In 2015, right. I wasn't here, but Randy, I think, has a better understanding. Yes, you've gotten your regulations.
I know why we did it. What did we place them at Warehouse Row?
Industrial areas, right. So,
okay.
So we believed at the time that the regulation would be similar to adult entertainment, that type of thing, where you had to provide some location within the city that was reasonable. So we used the industrial area as the area that we thought would be reasonable. With the legislation that was passed, they gave us that option of banning them entirely or treating them exactly like you do a drugstore, pharmacy. And so those are kind of our two options. So
the ordinance that we passed earlier
allowed them in industrial, which wouldn't stand, because that's more stringent than pharmacy.
That's right. So we can't pass an ordinance that's more stringent than pharmacy.
Other than
we
banning.
Can't keep other what than, we no, have other
banning.
Than banning.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. I definitely would like to see that ordinance come forward as quickly as possible.
Do we have three nods for that? To see it?
Yeah, I'll nod to see it.
So calling a special P&Z meeting for July 18th, and then it'll come to you at the second meeting in July, would be as fast as we can get it to you.
And what I'll do is send that draft ordinance to Randy and to
Dory.
To the Dory and to the commission, so you can see that in advance.
So one of the things that I read that you put in the loop all the time are the police reports. And I know that we have quite a number of reports that get arrest for possession. So with that, I'd surely like to see some data before we pass an ordinance about what's going on with that. If you don't mind, I don't know where you get it from. But I know when I read that, I'm always taken by how many people are arrested for that. So I'd just like to see that with the ordinance.
I believe, I'm not sure of the details, perhaps you are, Kurt. The law is for the legal dispensing of marijuana for medical reasons. Is that correct?
Yes, it's medical marijuana.
And there are specific guidelines, I presume, in terms of how those scripts can be written, by whom, and under what circumstances?
It's a state-regulated, mandated process. We have no input to that whatsoever.
Okay.
So
even to the extent we would regulate it like a pharmacy. I'm sorry.
But I think it's important.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure
I'm sure we'll all do our own research, but that's one of the things that I think we should look at, is to understand what the scope of the legislation is and how it might affect it.
And the plans for that legislation to continue to change.
It could change.
It's about, there's a copy of.
Is that all I have to read?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's not
casual reading.
I would suggest maybe giving some time certain consideration to it to see how it plays out. Follow me.
In what? Well,
you mean is it really a problem?
Is it,
no, we can discuss it next time around.
Maybe come when they're afraid of. You know,
yeah, I have no particular bias on that.
I don't
want to
be the guinea pig.
I understand.
Yeah, we have numerous cities already. I think Winter Garden and I think Windermere have already banned, and maybe even Orlando. I'm not sure.
It's moving pretty
fast. They
had already done it before. That's the reason I had the question in the first place, is other cities have done it, and we had done something entirely different, and I wasn't sure why.
So today...
But now I understand.
All right, so today, given the state law as it stands, as it's been signed, someone can apply for a permit today because we have not banned it. Is that correct?
Except for the fact that we have this pending ordinance that is coming to you. So our position is that if someone applies, they would not be able to move forward with that, assuming the City Commission adopts the ordinance. Got it. The whole purpose of bringing it rapidly forward and processing this is so that everyone is aware that this is headed for adoption. Now, if the commission does not adopt it at that point, then it's a non-issue. But right. if you do adopt it, then folks are under that restriction.
Well, I think it's important that we think it through as fast as possible, you know, amongst ourselves. And also P&Z, if you can provide some background for P&Z on the scope of the medical marijuana law, so that their judgments are informed as well, or perhaps get it out to them early too.
And the positions of other cities, I think, is important too.
I would endorse that as county. Well.
Yeah.
Got it. And that's it. Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners.
Thank you. There are no non-action items on the agenda.
I'm sorry. Go right ahead. Mr. Vice Mayor, I had one other just quick question. Is the it's kind of for both the councilor and the city manager, but has anything happened on the assisted living?
The mediation is scheduled for Thursday.
Okay, this week Thursday. Okay, thank you.
All right, there are no non-action items. We will take comments at 5 p.m. or sooner should we complete the agenda before then. First item on the consent agenda, well, first, are there any things on the consent agenda that would like to be discussed?
Yeah, I need to pull 6 through 12 to recuse myself.
C6 through 12.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And I'd like to move the agenda.
And I need to pull A.
A, okay. Greg, Q, 6 through 12. Any other items to be pulled in for discussion?
I'd just like to pull B.
Sure.
I think it deserves to be pulled and given some notice.
Sure, I think that's a great idea.
Yep.
I was going to pull a banner under commission comments. It's good to do it now.
So what did you do, 6 through what?
C, 6 through 12, which is all the engineering firms, architectural firms, landscape firms.
All right, so then we have C, 1 through 5, and 13 and 14 to approve without further comment. So moved?
I already moved.
I'll second it.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item.
Mr. Vice Mayor, we only take public comment on those before we vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda items C, 1 through 5, and 13 and 14? Seeing none, the vote to approve is accepted. Item A, regarding the minutes. Ms. Cooper.
Yes, on page 10 of the agenda packet, under the social media policy, I wanted to add the comment, there was no recognition here of the information that I submitted, the comments from the First Amendment Foundation, and I wanted to simply recognize that by adding the comment. Commissioner Cooper submitted comments from the First Amendment Foundation based on their review of the proposed social media policy and asked that those comments be reviewed by city staff.
Anne, was that something that is a quote from the meeting? I mean, is that, that's fine with me. Although just personally, I don't recall having received a copy of those. I might have misplaced
it. I gave it to the attorney and to the city clerk.
Okay. I would like a copy of those as well.
And Cindy, you have that.
Yeah, maybe send it to all of us.
Cindy has it.
So I'll second that.
And that's I'll have you share it too. Thank you.
Okay, so the minutes, so we'll vote on the minutes with the amendment from Commissioner Cooper. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? B, confirm Dan D'Alessandro as Electric Utility Director.
Public comment.
Do we have to have public comment on that?
You do now.
Or on the minutes?
Both.
On the minutes. Is there any public comment on the minutes? Seeing none, we'll go to B. The confirmation of Daniel D'Alessandro as Electric Utility Director.
And if I may, I appreciate you pulling that so we have the chance to acknowledge this. Dan has done a fantastic job in his time with the city and certainly I think has earned this promotion to director, and I would ask the commission to confirm that.
And for those in the public who are not familiar with Dan, Dan came on board when we were having some issues with our contractor who was doing a lot of the undergrounding for the city and the citizens. and he has completely reorganized the undergrounding program for the benefit of the city and the citizens. And as I think unanimously, we all understand his commitment to the job and the quality of the work he's done. And I, for one, will be thrilled to confirm his appointment as the director.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, then, you know, as most people know, I've been heavily involved in the undergrounding program. And when Dan came on board, had several meetings with him, and he said he was setting out to do certain things, and those things have been happening. And we do have the new undergrounding plan, and as far as I know, we're still on schedule, and which is great. And I think the way we're hardening the system, we're all going to be much happier with the final product. And so I look forward to a successful undergrounding program under him. So thank you.
Is there any public comment on the appointment of Dan as the electric director? Seeing none, and applause. We will vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed? Thank you. That's it. Greg, we have 6 through 12 without Greg. Are there any?
So, can I just have a quick question?
Sure.
So, Greg, can you not vote on anything that comes in front of us that has this kind of stuff? I mean, that's directly involved in your job. I just find that it.
You have that many clients.
Yes. That's a lot of people.
Okay.
It's a lot of clients. And so I'm delighted you're that busy, but that means you're not ever going to be able to vote on
these. The opportunity exists in any period of their contract for me to become either them a subconsultant to me or me a subconsultant to them. And since I'm an owner of the firm, I stand to make money off those relationships. So if these firms came to the city of Winter Park and said, hey, Greg, we'll put you on this landscape team if you vote for us.
Well, I understand that part.
So for me, it's keeping it at arm's length and making sure it's at arm's length so that I'm not involved in any of the approvals. Like, for example, I can tell you I'm doing two projects with Kimley Horn right now.
Okay.
And they're on my team for another project. So it certainly shouldn't be approving anything that Kimley Horn
is doing. No, I understand that part. And so is that how it works, Mr. City Attorney, if there's ever a conflict? It's just even the possibility that there might be one? Is that how it? Because that's exactly what it is. It's the possibility. It's not that there is one now.
I don't have a contract with every person.
Okay.
Well, the perception, there is a perception issue under the statutory provisions. Also, he has had conflicts involving some of them. So then the question is not just this contract, but the ones that have occurred in the past where the commission voted on it.
Right.
So that'll when you start looking at it, then how attenuated can that be? So the possibility alone is not enough.
Right.
But when you have the relationship that Greg has and his ownership position and the fact that his company has and likely will, then you it creates an issue.
All right.
So just to clarify, you know, for the public as well, we have an obligation to vote on every matter that comes before us,
correct,
unless we have a conflict.
That's correct.
Defined by statute.
Absolutely.
I just want to make that clear.
Yes.
Thank you. So Greg is recused. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda items 6 through 12? Seeing none, we'll seek approval. I'll move it. Item 6 through 12.
I'll second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Note that Commissioner Seidel recused himself from those items.
Yeah, Debbie, I need to get the paperwork for that.
That's fine. Okay. We have public hearings. Mr. City Attorney, are there any comments for you to start out on 11A?
I need to read the title of the ordinance.
Yes, sir.
And that's the only thing I need to do on that one. 11A, if I could.
Yes.
Ordinance number blank, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 3, Zoning Regulations, Section 58-72, Office O-1 District, and Section 58-73, Office O-2 District, so as to allow veterinary clinics as a permitted use subject to limitations on a single-tenant building and separation from residential, providing for codification, conflict, severability, and an effective date.
I'd like to move it. Second.
Is there any public comment on item 11A? Is there any comment among the commission on this item, given that it's the second reading? Shall we put it to a roll call vote?
Yes.
Mr. Seidel?
Yes.
Mr. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes. That takes us immediately to 11B. Is there a similar reading from you?
No, Mayor. I'll read 11C when that comes up.
It's off.
No, it's off. Oh, I guess it's off. Correct. And that'll be re-advertised, I think, during. So, yes.
Okay, our one new zoning public hearing is this item 11B, which is a subdivision or lot split of the property at 331 South Lakemont. And this, on your screen, shows the location of the property there on the corner of Lakemont and Grinnell Terrace, kind of opposite the fire station. It's a two-story brick house, if you've driven by and seen it many times. And the property is 160 feet along Grinnell Terrace and 170 feet north-south along Lakemont. And they want to divide it into two lots, north-south, so both of the two lots would front on Grinnell Terrace. And so that would give them an interior lot that is 75 feet wide, and the corner lot that is 85 feet wide. The zoning's R1A. You're supposed to have 75 feet of lot width, which they have for the interior lot. And on corner lots, to compensate for the extra setbacks, you're supposed to have an extra 10 feet, you're supposed to have 85 feet. And that's what they do have on that corner lot. And then the lot areas, the interior is 12,750, the corner lot's 14,310, minimum is 8,500 square feet, so they are in excess of the land area for both of the lots over the minimum R1A. So neither of these lots needs any kind of variance of any type to meet the R1A zoning. Even with that, we do look at the neighborhood standard within the 500 feet. That was the previous graphic, to see if that is comparable to the characteristics of what's being requested. And we get very similar averages of 78, 79 feet for lot width, so it's consistent with what they're asking for. And we get average lot areas around 10.8, and so these are slightly larger. So these lot areas and lot widths are both consistent with the zoning and consistent with the lot areas of the surrounding area. We talked to the applicants about trees on the property, trying to preserve as many of the nice trees that are there, and they are able. This plan shows the tree locations and the trees that are committed to be preserved. Fortunately, virtually everyone is falling in a location that's either along the Lakemont front setback or in the Grinnell Terrace front setback or on the sidelines. There's only one 48-inch camphor tree, which, as you know, is not a protected species that will be removed because it's right smack in the middle of the house footprint. So there is this commitment and requirement as part of the condition of approval to preserve those major specimen trees on site. The other thing that we talked to the applicant about was architectural diversity, and they have offered to build two homes that are different looking than each other, so it won't look like just two production homes on the corner by the same builder with maybe same style and just different paint colors. So there will be differing architectural styles. You saw that was a condition as well. As you know, that old brick house is an old brick house. It was built in 1925, and we wish there was an opportunity to preserve that home. We have talked to all of the folks that have been interested in this property over the last really year and a half it's been on the market. You can still get two lots for saving the house. You can get the carrot, perhaps, of a garage apartment through a designation, but none of the prospective buyers, including the current buyer, is interested in doing the designation. The property owner themselves, who contacted them directly, Brooks has, and trying to explain the program and what the prospective advantages are, but the property owner is not interested in designation either.
So as you know, our program is voluntary in nature, and so without agreement by buyers or sellers, it is where we are today in terms of just a division into two lots with those two conditions, and P&Z recommended approval.
Any questions for staff?
Hasn't that house been sitting empty for some time?
I believe from the family situation it has, but no, it was rented by some folks within the last year or so, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'd like to move it.
Jeff, why wasn't that home on our master survey list? I was surprised that it wasn't.
I don't know. We'd have to look back to the consultant that did the survey.
It meets the criteria for being on the list. I was just surprised that it was not. Our list was done quite a while ago. What was the last time we updated it? Was like 2013, maybe?
Well, we're in the prompt.
2001.
With outside consultants, I believe. Yeah.
Did we just hire someone though to do a relook at that?
Not yet.
I saw it someplace. Was it on the agenda packet? Is that?
It was in an email.
Okay. So we do have someone getting ready to update the list. Then
we'll be talking about that as part of the budget process.
Good. Oh, that sounds like maybe we don't want to do it. I hate to hear that. There are many people who would love to see the home preserved if there's any way. I don't know if a little more time to discuss this would be helpful. I think economically the incentives are there, because once you declare it historic, or even if you declare it historic, you not only can have the garage apartment, but you also are usually looked very favorably upon for your setbacks and your code requirements on the remaining lot. What I don't know is if we've had enough time to actually get into the house and even do an evaluation. I understand there was some difficulty with the privacy issue in getting into the house to even know if we've evaluated it yet, or if the new owners have evaluated it yet. I don't have any huge objection. I would just love to see this piece of history preserved if we can do that. And if we can do that in a way that's economically palatable to you. I hate to get out in front of having that opportunity for assessment and discussion with the property owners and our city staff. I understand it's been a while since we actually talked to them, and at that time maybe we did not have access into the property to even decide if it was feasible or not. But I can just say from my personal perspective is I hope that we don't allow part of our history to go away unnecessarily. If it's not economically feasible, absolutely, I understand if the property's not. But it may be, and so to move this in a direction that doesn't give that conversation a reasonable chance to happen and that evaluation, I'm not comfortable going there quite yet. I would be very comfortable at our very next meeting taking action if we've been able to assess it and decide that it doesn't make sense to try to hold on to it. It might impact the way the lot is split if we can preserve that home, and I realize that's just my personal opinion based on input from many of our residents that are concerned about preserving the house. I don't know why it's not on our master file list. It certainly should have been. It's an important part of our history. It's certainly architecturally qualifies. I don't know about the inside, and maybe that's the reason it's not. But right now, I would like to give you and our historic preservation officer at least time to talk about it. And so for me, 2 weeks would be very comfortable for that. But I need to hear from everybody. You know,
there's a motion on the table that I will second so that we can take comment. Would the applicant wish to make some comments?
Good afternoon. My name is Dale Cox. I live at 11906 Provincial Way in Windermere. We appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciated your comments, Commissioner. I have personally spoken with the city architect and others. I'm a certified public accountant. I'm a chartered global management accountant, and I serve as the chief financial officer for Doro Brothers Properties. Part of my role is to do the evaluation and have discussions with our team that we work with, and we have done that. So in the process, I wanted to go over with you some of what we've done, just hopefully to give you some reassurance that we, in fact, have spent a lot of time, energy, in reviewing and considering all of those things. We certainly appreciate history. My wife's family actually has a significant piece of Winter Park history, and they have a number of their family heirlooms stored in the library. And if you put on the white gloves, you can go in and see some of those things. So we are sensitive and appreciate it greatly. In the process, I do have several here with me that probably, if you have further questions, once I make a couple comments, we'd be more than happy to provide further stuff. Here with me today is John Doro, one of the Doro brothers of Doro Brothers Properties. He's our chief operating officer. We have our architect, John Youngman, our general contractor, Greg Clarkson, our realtor, real estate broker who is representing us, Saba Rob, and the real estate agent who is representing the seller. And I know the real estate agent representing the seller has personally canvassed the neighborhood and has not only spoken with 17 of the 20 homeowners, but has actually gotten from them letters that she has in her possession saying they understand that what we are proposing with the lot split and the demolition, and they're in favor of it. So we hope that gives you some assurance that we haven't just idly said we don't care, because we do. We certainly spent time with our architect and our general contractor reviewing possibilities, which included rehab of the existing structure, as well as various options for different structures if we were to demolish that. And we've also, I've done extensive financial calculations in reviewing those options. We, unfortunately, to your concern, did not find where it made economic sense. John Doro did speak with, he called Youngblood Building Movers. That was the one thing that we hadn't really pursued, because I just didn't think there's any way it could make economic sense. But I said, let's find out. So he talked to them, and they went over the location, the structure that's there, and after significant discussions, their conclusion was that due to the size of the structure, the fact there's a basement there, the trees, not only there, but between there and wherever they would move it to, any overhead utility lines, and again, depending upon the location, any street lights or anything that might be in the way. They said that if we were wanting to move it anywhere within like a 10-mile radius, that we should expect the cost to be at least $150,000 to $200,000 and maybe more. They said, and even having said that, they said it's likely that it won't even be possible to move it. But if it is possible, it would be extremely challenging. So challenging to the fact that they said we would not even be interested in giving you a bid to move it if you find a location to move it to. We also, in addition to our architect and general contractor, John reached out to a gentleman we know who is a licensed building code inspector. He's also an engineer. He's also a general contractor. And we reviewed with him to see if he was aware of anything that we perhaps had overlooked. So we certainly believe we have spent more than adequate time in doing our research and evaluation, and there's nothing else that I know we would find possible to do with a delay in time.
So did you actually look at the possibility of building another home plus a garage apartment when you did your calculations?
We did, yes. Okay. I'd have to go back and look at my file. We probably had about 10 different variations that we looked at.
Okay.
Let's see if there's anything else I had in my notes here. Oh, we did have, John Doro did get access to the property.
Oh, good. Okay.
And took lots of pictures. And
I think the conversation that I was repeating came from a couple of weeks ago, okay. I think, before.
And again, some of this, getting the pictures, good, talking to the building moving company, talking to the city architect, and regrouping and circling the wagon and re-talking with our consultants since we went to the PNZ meeting for and got the unanimous approval there. We have not been idly just waiting. We have spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks making sure that we had not overlooked any significant piece that would make a difference in our decision or our request.
Mr. Seidel.
Thank you. I just had some follow-up questions to what Commissioner Cooper was asking about, and I don't know if you investigated the option of, you know, splitting the lot in an east-west direction as opposed to the north-south direction, where I think that's what she was referring to, where the existing house could be maintained in its current location, and then you could still have what appears to be an almost acceptable sized lot. I don't know about the access off of Lakemont.
Facing Lakemont.
Right, and then if the commission was able to grant you certain variances to add additional square footage to that other property, make the house more valuable, if you will, is that something you'd be willing to consider as far as rerunning the numbers? And where I'm going with this, Commissioner Cooper, is he still has to come back in a couple weeks, right, for the final. So we could approve him now and ask him to see if these numbers work for him.
Oh, wait.
This is just one time.
I didn't realize
okay.
that.
Okay. I'm sorry. My misunderstanding there. But was that configuration investigated? And that's where I'm always saying the city can assist with this by, you know, if the lot split goes the other way, you can build a more valuable house on the other part of the property and, you know, still have the economic benefit out of the parcels you were looking for.
I think the way I would answer that is we certainly attempted to, but perhaps there are some way more generous variances that you're implying are there that we don't have. When you look at that particular structure, the concerns are that there's significant structural issues.
Certainly, some upgrades would have to be made.
More than just upgrades. I mean, there's some structural issues. Inside, there's been water damage. It doesn't have any central air or heat. All the windows basically would have to get. So it's more than just a gutting and replacement. And so it's hard for me to imagine the possibility where a rehab would make any financial or economic sense.
Well, I guess that's what the one I was trying to imagine is the other parcel had enough value to make it worthwhile, and then the city would save a historic or a 1925 home, I'll call it, Commissioner Weldon.
It doesn't have an entrance into the other side off of Lakemont either right now. There's no entrance to that. You would have to be making an entrance off of Lakemont. There's no entrance over there on that lot.
Correct.
I walk it all the time, and there's nothing over there.
They would need a driveway cut for that.
I appreciate your initiative, Commissioner Seidel, but to me, these are the kind of things that that should have been addressed directly before, with the applicant before this came to us. I think the applicant has pursued their rights within our rules and has certainly seemed to have done a very responsible job of evaluating everything that was practical for them. if there were an opportunity for staff to make other offers to them before they got to us. I think that, you know, perhaps that might have changed the circumstances, but I don't think, from what I've heard, that that those changed circumstances would be sufficient to change the economics and the final judgment of the buyers.
You know, I was at the P&Z meeting for this, and I just this idea didn't come to me until Commissioner Cooper asked if they had evaluated that. But
I appreciate it.
Yeah, previously, I mean, it seemed everything seemed reasonable as the process they had gone through.
Well, let me, you know, let me just add that if an application came to us that asked for unusual variances that related to an historic property that was intended to be rehabilitated, I would look at it, you know, in a very favorable way in terms of a bias towards trying to make that happen. But in this case, I think the facts are clear that it's gotten to us in the best possible set of circumstances we can imagine.
Have you met and shared that information with our city historian or architect?
No.
Yeah.
When I talked to him, we still had not actually been physically inside the house either. So I told him we had been informed there wasn't, but when we got in, I saw the pictures. We didn't see really anything that had any kind of historical or even antique kind of significance.
Thank you very much.
I would sure like to give an opportunity for that meeting to happen. I would like to move that we could table this time certain for our next meeting and give our city architect an opportunity to meet with Mr. Cox and actually go into the house. I'd like to see that meeting happen.
A motion is on the table. Is there a second? Yes, seeing no second, we will, that motion does not go forward. Yes.
If I may make a point of clarification.
Ms. Stone.
The ordinance that you did adopt for historic preservation allows us to ask permission to go into the house prior to demo. The demo permit will come through the building department. And at that point, Mr. Weiss will contact the owners, and we will ask permission at that point to go in. So we have been very successful with that so far, whether it's on our Florida Master Site File list or not. And I know that with Mr. Weiss having reached out, that there's a lot of interest. So when that demo permit comes in, we will reach out again and ask permission to go in the house at that point.
At the time that you do that, Dory, is that just to document?
Yes, ma'am.
That's just to document
yep.
the home. Yeah, I was kind of hoping to get to the point where the demolition permit never came in because they were able to agree that the property was worth maintaining and maybe discuss some different divisions of the lot. That's all. But I do appreciate that. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that
as the
demo permits come in, we take full advantage of those permits and those time
sure.
periods, whether they're on the master.
And we document
yes, ma'am.
Those things we have lost.
Yes.
I was kind of hoping we could preempt that.
I just wanted to point that out as you were having your discussion.
Thank you. Yes, Commissioner Seidel.
If there were a grant or a funding mechanism to help the restoration, would that help the economics work better on maintaining the lot split? And I'm assuming it depends on the size of the grant, of course. But.
Unfortunately, that's it.
It's all about the percentage of the cost. And
to commit to close...
No, I'm not asking now. I'm just asking in general if there was, would that help the situation that you're in if we wanted to save, as the city wanted to save the house and had grant money to offer?
He's being very hypothetical. We don't have any.
We don't have grant money.
Okay.
I'm asking if we
did.
Trying to decide
would
that help
make
out
a
the situation?
Express to
do you give a personal guarantee with that?
Yeah, right.
Randy will. He's a big manager.
Yeah, he's.
But he can only sign a check that's so big.
Right.
Yes, do you have additional comments, ma'am?
Yes, hi. My name is Jane Panchuga. I work with Coldwell Banker. I'm the realtor that represented the property. Thank you so much for your time today. I just wanted to give a couple of input that I've listed the house for 6 months. And I have a letter from the owner. There was a couple of comments, and I just wanted to make sure that the council heard. She said, to whom it may concern, I have no interest in deeming the house at 331 South Lakemont Avenue, Winter Park, as a historical, as there is no historical value in the house. Number two, my family is not the original owner of 331 South Lakemont Avenue. Number three, I understand that the new buyers are planning on splitting the property into two lots, demolishing the house and developing the property. And I'm in full support of this, and I think it's a great idea for the property values. And also, I do want to say that in showing the house, I was very active in showing the house. Almost all of the people that came that possibly might have wanted to have an interest in rehabbing the house, not one offer came in on the house. I actively said, make an offer, you know, I'll bring it to the owners. Hands down, there was way too much. The house is in serious disrepair. It's beyond being able to be repaired. And the house was never rented. It was occupied by the owners up until, you know, the sale of the house. And so it was not a rental. And the other thing I wanted to say was that when people did come in that were interested in doing rehabs, we warmly welcome them like we do with any type of sale. And when they did the numbers, they came back and they said, Jane, we can't even make an offer. It doesn't make sense. It would be way far beyond belief to be able to do anything with this house. And there isn't anything historical in the house whatsoever. That being said, when I was when the offer was made by the Duro brothers, we were very happy, and we only had one other offer on the table, and that as well wanted to demolish the property. I do have the letters from all the neighbors on the block. I didn't have one person say that they were not in favor. Everybody was in favor of it. The Grinnell family also owned the lots across the street years ago, and that was one big lot, and I recall them doing the lot split exactly the same way across the street on Grinnell and turning and put two beautiful houses up there that are an asset to the neighborhood. So the property has been in serious disrepair, and we'd love to have two beautiful homes built there to improve the property values. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, ma'am. And if you could, I think for the record, since you have those letters, I think we'd like to have them for the record, if possible, or photocopies, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. I'll make a copy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any public comments? Please. If you haven't done so already, after you speak, there's some yellow slips outside where we document who talks, so we get the act, you know, so we get the record straight and so forth and so on.
My name is Jacob Stern. I'm a Winter Park resident. I don't have really any ties to this house whatsoever, but hearing Commissioner Cooper speak kind of brought up some thoughts of mine. I know there's a basement in this house, which I understand makes it a little bit harder to move, but thinking about that too kind of made me think, what if we don't move the basement and move the structure above, if at all possible? You know, you could do all the underground work at a new location and put a slab on the ground and then move this house directly on top. That's one option. I also understand that moving the house, there are a lot of issues with that regarding the tree canopy and the power lines and many other obstacles. We do have Lakemont, which is a large street, which then connects into Aloma, which is another large street, to actually move the house, which makes it a little bit easier. The first thing that came to my mind was the fact that I know Mead Gardens is looking for another event space or something to do in their location. I don't know if it makes any sense at all. It's just something I heard about, which it could be a potential place to move it as well. I also heard that 15 out of 17 of the neighbors gave letters stating that they'd be interested in seeing the house split and having a new house demolished and two new houses put up there. I'd be interested to know if they, if that was the only option that was presented to them, or if they thought that moving the house is an option at all. So I don't know if that, if it was, hey, are you okay with dividing and demolishing, period, or here's option A, dividing and demolishing, or option B, potentially moving the house. So that's another thing. I'm not sure if it was ever brought to their attention. Another point I wanted to make with the moving of the house, it sounds like they did a lot of research on that. And talking to someone, one thing I did notice is he said that the company would not be interested in putting a bid on the house, which to me means that they never actually made it out to the property to look at what the feasibility of moving it is and put an actual number to paper. I work for a general contractor as well, and I'm very used to getting bids from different subcontractors. We normally go up to at least three people to see what the value would be to move something or to do any type of work. And so I just want to know if someone was actually on site. Site visits tend to change the value drastically, one way or the other. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but it could be a different opinion out there. Other than that, it does seem like a lot of work was done. I just want to make sure that everything was done. This is a really old house. I understand that 1925 is the date that's on paper, but if I remember correctly, there's a chance it could be older based on that's when the records actually start. So this house could be even older than that. So those are the main points I wanted to make, just to see if we could table this for a little bit longer to do a little more research, talk to the city architect, talk to the historical society, figure out why this wasn't on the master registry, and see if there is a potential place we can move it and what the actual obstacles would be within a 10-mile radius, instead of saying that it would be very hard, which I do understand, but actually looking at a feasible option.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments on this matter? Yes, please. Again, if you could grab a yellow slip before you leave today and submit it to the clerk, that will help us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right outside. Just turn to your left. You'll see them on a board.
Hello. Hi. My name is Hillary Stalder. I also live in Winter Park. Again, no ties to this house at all. To piggyback off of what Jacob said, I would also disagree that the historic designation of this house should probably be further investigated. In addition to that, working for a general contractor myself, I could also probably find donations to bring the house up to the code that it needs to be. Given a little bit more time, this might be feasible, but because this was, 3 weeks from the initial meeting to recommend this lot be split, there hasn't been enough time to really figure out something to be done with the house. So I guess I would just second that motion to maybe reconsider giving us a little more time to figure out if something could be done in a place to move it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other public comments? With that, we'll close the floor to public comments. And is there any commission discussion on this issue?
Yeah, I'd like to bring up one more item.
Sure.
On Commissioner Weldon, I know with your experience on the P&Z, you might have a little more insight into the details of this. But if we were to grant them the lot split, either east-west or north-south, mm-hmm. to give an opportunity to investigate if mm-hmm. anything could be worked out, that gets their clock moving, which is what they're trying to do, mm-hmm. and it gives the city the opportunity to go in and view the house, and then it gives contractors, if they would want to fix the house up mm-hmm. and make it valuable, and then he could figure out if there's any variances that he would need to make it worth it. And so it's, can we grant the lot split as an either an east-west or a north-south so that these things could be investigated?
I don't see that that's going to do any good, because the process has already gone forward. It was a 7-0 vote on P&Z. There was ample opportunity for the community to try to work with the prospective buyer after the P&Z meeting and the appropriate notice that was given according to our rules and regs. And I think in this case, renegotiating it, in effect.
Well, I'm not trying to renegotiate. I'm just trying to allow for the opportunity. Right.
Well, I think that opportunity exists even with approval of what's presented to us today. As the applicant has.
The opportunity to move the house would exist, but the opportunity to save the house in its current location would not if we don't offer him the opportunity to split the lot the other way.
Okay, I have to say something.
Please, go ahead.
Okay, I'm having a really hard time with this discussion. I'm probably the only person up here who walks by this house all the time, and it has not been a house worth keeping for a very long time. So I'm sorry, I hear people saying that it's an old house, and it is a really old house that has not been kept up. And I watch it, and I look at it, and I see rodents running around it, so I can tell you that this house is not appreciated in this neighborhood. Now, maybe it should have been, and maybe it should have been on the list, and maybe all that should have happened, but it did not occur. So now we have people who have done their due diligence, and we're up here questioning them and saying, you got to go back and do more because we think you should save it. And guys, this house has been like this for a really long time. My son's been rode his bike to Brookshire, and it looked like that. So he's 35 now. So I look at this, and I'm thinking, what are we doing? Why are we up here doing this to these people that are trying to do something good for that community? That street, those two streets right in there, they are really looking good now. They are really looking good. People are coming in there and redoing those homes. I don't like to lose old homes, but that house has never provided anything to anybody and said, this is a beautiful place that represents Winter Park. The thing that makes it historic is the Grinnell name and the street and all of those things, which they've already said that's not important to them. So if we think we should override that as a city, that's one thing. I just don't think we should. I think they've gone through their due diligence. I think they went to P&Z. And I'm finding it really hard to sit here and ask these people to go back and do more when they've already done all this. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Commissioner. It's the same style as my great aunt's house in Wilmington, Delaware. So, and there's one just like it on Old Winter Park Road, I guess. So for me, and I drive that street quite a bit, I don't walk it like you do, but it does kind of say to me 1920s, whether
it does.
It's mm-hmm. whether it's nice mm-hmm. architecture or it's not, it says this is an old house and you're
right.
in an old neighborhood.
That's what it says. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
that
so,
has not been kept up. That's the reason why
Absolutely.
I know that it's not been kept up.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that. I mean, I'm not saying it has been kept up.
I'll
go ahead and make the motion to Commissioner Weldon that we allow them to split the lot on a east-west bearing.
You mean so it fronts on Lake Mount?
If they so choose.
So you're offering a motion to allow them the flexibility to make that decision?
Correct.
I don't see any problem with that.
Okay, we already have a motion on the table as seconded to accept the way it is here. Okay,
we don't want to define the square footage of the lot.
He can't make the same motion. He'd have to amend the
motion.
He
has to amend.
He can't do that.
He has them to amend the motion that's on the table. Correct.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to second that. I just would like to understand from the attorney. I'm very comfortable doing this, but I think what we have to say is that they can split it either northwest. I mean, north, south, or
east-west,
and the size of those lots
has to still meet.
Well, it won't.
Okay,
So the question is, who won't have the size of the lot defined right now either? And I'm okay with that, but I just need to make sure legally it's okay. Can we just approve splitting a lot however staff works it out?
Sure. We've already offered that they can split it north-south, whatever dimensions they want.
Good.
East-west, whatever dimensions they want.
Perfect.
They can have whatever interior side setbacks that they want, that they can have a garage apartment, rental garage apartment, if they want. All of those incentives have previously been offered.
Okay.
And they have not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I seconded his motion.
Well, first it has to be put in the form of an amendment to the original motion.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Seidel.
Yeah, so I will look to amend the original motion to allow for a east-west lot split
and
along with the north-south lot split.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on this? Okay, let's have a vote on the amendment. Roll call, please.
Mr. Seidel. Sorry.
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
No.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
No. Mr. City Attorney, in the absence of approval of that motion, does the original motion stay in place?
Yes.
And intact?
So that's up for a final discussion and vote.
Okay. Is there any more discussion on the final motion? On the original motion for a vote? With that in mind, please read the roll on the initial motion.
Mr. Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes. Motion passes. That's it. Thank you very much for your indulgence. Moving on.
Feel free to come back for anything that we can do to help save the house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I just a comment amongst us, not for the public, but thank you. I know. I have, just from my point of view, I have every hope that the staff and commissioners who want to show an interest can get ahead of these before they get to us. But once it gets to us with a 7-0 vote from P&Z, I really think about it in terms of...
We're not supposed to comment at P&Z, right?
No, you don't have to comment at P&Z, but, you know, once it gets to us...
That would be where I would have the ideas and should.
There's nothing that says you can't, actually.
Yeah, there is nothing that says you can't.
Then maybe I will.
Okay, please do. Please do.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on. We are finished with the formal agenda. We will take public comment on any issue that is not on today's agenda right now. Does anyone have any comments that they wish to make for the City Commission or in front of the public with regard to any issue not on the current agenda? Okay, with that said, we're on to Commission reports.
Did we take public comment?
I was right here. Okay. Oh, yes, on that item.
Yes, I just noticed that.
Yes, we did.
Okay, no, we said it. Right?
No, the two younger
gentlemen.
People.
Gentlemen. Oh, I did.
Yeah. They said exactly what you said. It was amazing.
Said, let's move it.
Well, does that mean that I must be young at heart?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
When is our social media meeting scheduled for?
Our what?
Social media meeting?
July 24th. July 24th.
All right.
Before the sky concludes,
yeah,
or falls on us.
As it will.
Commission reports, Mr. Seidel.
Yeah, I received several emails regarding the use of the Blake Yard.
Yeah, we got those. I think they've been referred to George Wiggins and the city manager for discussion and investigation.
Okay, and then so I guess that's coming before us at the next meeting.
Correct. The ordinance disposing of the property.
Okay. All right. So we'll find out what happens with George and that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're unrelated, technically. What's going on with the chapter
is
unrelated to the selling of the property.
But we...
Yes, they are.
Yeah, well, I guess part of my question was since the person that owns the chapel bought the property, the property could not just become a parking lot for the chapel.
Under our code, that's correct.
Yes. Okay. Like we've had that happen before over where I think some properties just didn't have houses on them and people started parking cars.
Sure.
But that was like in the 80s maybe, Randy? Yeah, that's still, I think you know the one.
1917, I think it was.
It started in 1917.
Back in 1917,
the first model
good
age,
old
right?
days.
So, okay, no, I just wanted to. You know, I didn't know the rest of y'all knew about it because emails were only just to me, and so I just wanted to ask about that. So, I didn't have anything to add at this time.
Okay. Commissioner Sprinkle.
I have two things. One is I'd just like to have a little update on Adage's visit and all of that, mm-hmm. and. Any new timeline there and where we are on looking at that. I know I ask every time, where are we on our idea of having a foundation and all of that? So I'd still like to just keep it in everybody's forefront. So that, as well as what's going on with this, whatever's going on Orange Avenue right now, is that this week? Where you can come together for some public comment or something. I just wanted a little clarification on that.
Okay.
I got the email about it. So those are my two questions.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because I have a real question about that one.
All right.
Because we got an email that said staff did something 2 weeks ago, and oh, by the way, we're telling you today, and if you're not here on these 2 days, it's over. That was a hard thing for me to receive.
All right.
Okay.
All right, do you want to...
Well,
yes, the architects held a forum last week, held several meetings with special groups, or whatever you call them, the stakeholders, during the day, and then had a public forum Tuesday night. It was well attended. I would guess there were 250 people there.
A lot of architects
that came to hear him speak. He did start.
Yeah,
out.
I saw the photographs. I was trying to see how many faces I recognized.
Yeah, those are very good. Very
it's
good
a big turnout.
And then they broke it up into like focus groups within the room where you could comment on different things, and people moved around and made comments. I thought it was a lot of good information gathered. And I know there's a meeting being set up in the future to get the commissioners that weren't able to speak with them, which
was that most of us?
Most of you, yes.
I got an email asking if I was available on July 10th, but I never got a confirmation as to whether or not.
July 11th.
Well, July 11th?
Right. And so, so that didn't work out for a bunch of commissioners again. So
11th is okay with me, too.
Right, there was another, there's a date set up with individuals, and I forget what that is. But
okay.
It might have been the 11th. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think everyone who hasn't spoken to him yet would certainly like to, if you could just follow up with it with regard to each commissioner's time schedule.
Let me tell you where we are with Orange. So we've had a very busy month with public forums and public meetings and stakeholder meetings. So beginning of June, we did the stakeholder meetings with regard to Orange and had a public information meeting on, we did stakeholder meetings on parking in our downtown area and had a strategic planning meeting with the community about parking. We had noticed property owners, tenants, and homeowners within 1,500 feet of Orange and invited them to two stakeholder meetings in regard to working through design guidelines on Orange Avenue and also looking at Progress Point. Those meetings were held Thursday night at 6 o'clock and Friday at 10. We are also offering, and we had to work through some details of this, which is why the late notice, but we found we were actually able to offer an open house to the community this week from 9 to noon each day, and it's not a full session. It's drop in and spend 15, 20 minutes with us to take them through the Orange Avenue presentation that we did last week and get their feedback about preferences as well. So Commissioner, with regard to what you received the invitation through the, Clarissa's email public notice and also from me that basically outlined what that was. And this is open to the community. They can come out anytime between 9 and noon. We're at the Playhouse. There's staff there. We're going to take everybody. We're going to walk people through and just ask them their preferences about Orange Avenue.
Have we seen this Orange Avenue presentation?
No, you have not. Yeah.
So you're taking this to the public for input, but we haven't seen it yet?
I didn't. Well, I agree with that.
I mean, that was my, I get something that says we're going to be taking public input, but I don't even know what you're taking input on, and that's what was my issue was, I don't know what we're doing over there to be getting input.
Well, exactly because of that, I made a point to meet with Dory earlier today to find out what that presentation was, and it was, and yes, we should all be aware of it. And perhaps you could send around the PDF and the PowerPoint. It's an overlay asking for preferences.
Taking it back to the comprehensive plan. In the comp plan, we laid out five corridors that you would like us to do design guidelines on. We wanted to start developing the design guidelines on Orange Avenue. We don't want to do that without talking to the businesses and the tenants and the owners and, quite frankly, the people who use Orange.